When would have been, if you can go into your memory a bit, when and where would have been a place where you felt far away from everything? Far away from people, far away from the hustle and bustle of cities, far away from everything. Where was that place where you felt the most far away? Fix that in your minds a moment. Think about what it felt like to be there, to be far away. For me, it was this little tropical bay off on an island off the north coast of Honduras. So last week I tortured you with a few warm weather appearances. Let's go again. The north coast of Honduras, the Gulf of Mexico, deep blue azure waters, palm trees, warm sand, it's the perfect temperature. And I rented a kayak for a few hours that morning, just for fun. So I went paddling around in this actual bay here, this is Half Moon Bay, paddling around in there, but as you can see, there's a clear lip to that bay. And you can get beyond the corals and the algaes and all the fish farms in that bay there. And then all of a sudden, stuff gets very deep blue. Well, I could see it. I could see it from the bay. So I decided, hey, I'm going to paddle out. I'm going to get all the way out there, beyond the bay. I paddle. But as soon as I get past, you can see that light blue line there, that turquoise line. All of a sudden, there was a change in the water. I mean, on the one hand, I could look down. I could see almost an inky blackness underneath me, and I began to imagine what might be down there. Octopi, large fish, sharks, could be anything underneath me. And all of a sudden, I began to feel very, very small because the waves in that part of the Gulf of Mexico were very wide that day. They weren't the happy, lapping waves of a bay. They were the deep waves, something closer to the ocean. So much so were these waves long and deep that when I would go into the trough of one of the long ones, I couldn't see land. I wasn't out too terribly far, I don't think. But it was hard to tell when I was down at the bottom. I'd rise at the top, and sure enough, I could see the palm trees, and down I'd go again. And at first, this was really exhilarating, to be out that far. I mean, nobody was with me. No one actually even knew I was there. I hadn't told anybody that I was going to go rent a kayak, much less that I was going to go out on the Gulf of Mexico to the big waves nearest the ocean. No, nobody knew. That was fun for a minute. And then I thought, yeah, but if those things that are down there come up here, then what? Nobody's going to know. And it's just me and my little one-person kayak and a paddle. I'm probably not going to do very well. Yeah, maybe it's time to go back into shore. Maybe it's time to get back to safety. I didn't really want to be that far away. So I turned around and paddled for shore. I wonder if some of those feelings of being far away would apply to your relationship with God. Do you feel far away from God? And if you do, what does that feel like? Maybe it's exhilarating at first. You have freedom. You don't have some cosmic being watching over your shoulder, watching everything you do. Who needs it? Freedom? On the other hand, you may feel the creeping danger of the distance. It's a long way from places of safety. Then again, people talk about a relationship with God, but so what? What does that really even mean, to have a relationship with God? Even if we think of it as a relationship, and that means that we can be close or closer or very distant from God, so what? How can God be close to us? How can there be a distance that's crossable between us and God? Is it something emotional or mental? Well, it couldn't be physical, could it? Many of you, because you're here in church on Christmas morning, you've already brought your boat into shore. You found that you wanted to cross the distance, and you found, in fact, that all that time that you wanted to come in, God was already coming out to you. And you found that it was always God's intent to cross the distance between you and Him, to cross over that loneliness, over your alienation, over your simple lack of desire to really be hauled in. God could do all that. Because God crossing the distance between you and Him, that's a story of Christmas. One of Jesus' best friends, John, wrote it up this way. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Page 1645. Page 1645 of John chapter 1. You heard these words before when we were lighting candles to remember the light of the world. Here they are again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made, and nothing that has, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all people might believe. He himself was not the light. He just came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world. And he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a husband, human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. God's Word, amen. Apart from Jesus, there is a great distance between you and God. There are a couple reasons for that, why there's so much distance between you and God. Part of it is that, you know, there's a natural distance between you as a creation, as a creature, and your creator. You know, you could think of this as the same distance between any inventor and what they invent. You know, if we make a robot, we can program as much as we want to into it, and yet somehow it's still not quite us exactly. It doesn't really surpass us, even if those machines we build can now beat us at chess. That's a relatively small step in the grand scheme of things. So there is a distance between God the Creator and you. Well, maybe there's some speculation about artificial intelligence. Can we bridge the gap between creature and creation ourselves? Well, I decided to find out. So there's actually a video here of me asking Google a very interesting question. So Craig, there's a little bit of sound here. If you could put that on for me. Did our creation, Google Voice, surpass us yet?
Google, who are you?
Searching for oneself can take a lifetime, but a good place to start is classic rock.
Huh. And you can't quite see it there, but the video that's suggested is Who Are You by The Who. Yes, a good place to start is classic rock. Thanks, Siri. Not exactly what I was looking for. So, much to our comfort, Google is not yet self-aware. That's later with Skynet, I think. But our machines, yeah, they haven't quite reached up to us. They're still a creature. Also us, we're just creatures. And somehow the Creator, God, the one who made us, seems a little bit distant because of that. And yet, this passage tells us, verse 10, that he was in the world. Somehow the Creator has come down. He's become part of the world. This is rather unusual. And it's because the Creator wanted something unusual. He wanted something from you. And so he was willing to do the impossible thing to cross the distance between you and him, between creature and creation, to get what he wanted. Somehow he wanted closeness. Yet, when he did that, when he came down at Christmas, there was still a problem. There was still a barrier. It was this, that though he came to that which was his own didn't receive him. The world didn't even recognize him. The Creator comes down to his own creation, and they kind of just pass their eyes right over him. What kind of issue is this? Well, verse 5 tells us, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, or the darkness has not overcome it. Somehow there's an issue. There's a darkness. And the way that this is worded in the passage suggests that this is not merely like walking around at night because it's dark. Actually, this darkness is an active thing. It exists to create distance between the Creator and the creation. It exists to cover eyes, such that even if we were to open our eyes, we would still see darkness, like looking at the back of a blindfold. And the darkness has tied it around our hearts and around our souls, such that we will never see the Creator on our own. Though he may cross the distance, the darkness is working against his work to blind us, to make us not to understand it. No, it doesn't want God to be near us. It doesn't want us to see. Well, what's the darkness? Well, the darkness is the evil at work in the world. It's a real thing. And evil's whole project is to put more distance between you and God, not less. It's directly opposed to God's work. We could say that evil is like the dark energy between you and God gravitating closer. No, this energy of evil is pulling you apart. And when it gets hold of you personally, it takes many forms. It'll do whatever it can to push you away from God. It'll use everything in your life and everything you think and everything around you to create more distance. Because it will bring you circumstances that cause you to despair. It will foment addictions in you that create self-loathing and distance actually in all of your relationships, not just yours with God. It will puff up your pride that will keep you running your own life until the house of cards collapses around you. This darkness can even influence your thoughts. It can bend your heart toward fear and toward hate. It can deceive you about what's good for you. It can even take you over. It'll make you what we call a sinner. And that's not an accusation. That is an acknowledgement of what the darkness does to us, of what it has done to us already. Because the darkness intends to throw you out onto the ocean alone and lonely and leave you there to drown. To drown without God, without hope, without goodness, and with no future but the abyss below you. The light shines in the darkness, but, the darkness has not overcome it. And the darkness has not understood it. In other words, simply put, the darkness doesn't get it one way or another. The darkness does not get the light. The light persists. God persists, and he means still to cross all that distance between you and him, creation and creature, holy God and sinner, no matter what it takes. In fact, he's already done so, hasn't he? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of creation was with God. He was God. He was distinct, and he became one of us, a human being. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, The Word became flesh. God came down and became one of us, crossing all the distance to be near, to draw close, and to draw you close. He entered time, and he traveled fast and far right around that darkness, and he crossed that distance. There are a lot of people who experienced this firsthand. The writer of this passage, John, he was there. He saw it for himself. He ate with this Word who would become a human being. He ate with Jesus. And he talks about another John in verse 6, John the Baptist, who was there when Jesus stepped into the River Jordan and was baptized. He saw it with his own two eyes, and he heard a voice from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love." You see, the Father sent the Son to cross the distance. And there were so many who knew him in Bethlehem, in Egypt, in the backwater town of Nazareth. It was the shepherds, the angels, the kings, his mom, his stepdad, and so many others over the years. But you know, that's so far in time ago, isn't it? That's another part of the distance. That was 2,000 years ago. It's actually closer than you might think. Just a few weeks ago, I was looking over some old pictures that I dug out of a box with my oldest daughter, Rachel. And we were looking at those pictures from a trip I'd taken to Israel, to Palestine. And there we saw all these places. Yes, I was standing in the Jordan River. It's a real place. Or here, just below a synagogue in Capernaum where Jesus owned a house, are the ruins of an earlier synagogue. You can see the line there, the black rock there below the grayish rock. That black rock is, well, the first century AD. That's the ruins of the synagogue where Jesus went to worship, where he taught and spoke and said, "I'm the fulfillment. I am the Lord. I have come to you here and now." It's not so far after all. You can get there in a day. And in fact, God has taken another step to be with you. Though Jesus has gone, he sent his Holy Spirit. I suppose that's another story for another day, but again, God has crossed the distance between you and him. He doesn't want you to be far. He wants to be near. So yes, he is near to those who've received him. Because to you who have received him, he's given the right to be called the sons and the daughters of God. You're in the family. You are close to him, and deservedly so, out of his mercy and out of his grace. That's where you belong, right at his side. God is that close, a good father to his children. And you can see it in his children these days. You can see it because they constantly give up their time to come worship on a Sunday. That's becoming less and less popular, and yet here you are. Not just because it's Christmas, I hope, but because you wanted to come close. And these are the ones who really work at changing their lives because they know that their Heavenly Father loves them. And these are the ones who pray and they talk to God because they think he's actually close and accessible to them. And these are the people, hopefully, who love deeply, who love and forgive people even when other people aren't asking for it, they forgive them anyway. These are the people who have had their eyes open, who understand something about salvation, and that the darkness has not overcome the light, and that the light is with us, and it is real, and it is close, and it is the love of God made one of us in Jesus Christ. So he's come down. He's come to you. He's made his dwelling among you. Let him draw you close again. Let him remind you that you are a beloved son and a beloved daughter. With him is where you belong. You don't have to feel alienated from God. You don't have to feel distant. No. God's crossed the distance to your heart, to your real life. He's not far away at all. His love is near you. And all he's ever wanted is for you to receive it and be close to him. Amen. Pray with me. Lord God, you sent your Son Jesus to draw near to us so that somehow by your grace we would draw near to you. Let us hear this morning a renewed call, which is the call of love to transform us, by your presence, by your dreams for us as a loving Father, as a perfect Father we could never otherwise have. Lord, forgive us our many sins. Forgive us the darkness and the ways we've permitted it in our lives. Yet draw us near by Christ, and in his grace and nearness, refine us and take us close. Hold us in your embrace, because this is Christmas, when Christ came to us. It is in his name that we approach you and that we draw near. Amen.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Please stand as we sing, "Go Tell It."